Hi, I'm Phil Punnicher from Billionaires in Boxers, and welcome to another edition of the Billionaires in Boxers podcast or Punnicher TV, depending on where you are engaging in this content. Be sure to let us know in the comments down below exactly where you are engaging with this content. That'll be great. So look, I'll get straight down to business because there's a slightly different type of content that we'd usually produce, but there's a couple of things I wanted to share that I think would be quite helpful. And if nothing else, hopefully give a couple of people a bit of a boost that it's okay to share some of these things. Some of them I'm a little bit nervous about sharing online, actually. I mean, there's always the fear of a little bit of backlash with this stuff, but, you know, I'm a big boy, so let's put it out there and see what happens. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were mentioning to me that they have a certain level of fear around their ADHD and their neurodivergence. That they don't really like talking to clients about it, in case clients think they're quote-unquote weird was the word that they used. And as somebody who identifies as somebody with neurodivergence since the age of about 3 or 4 years old, I mean, I pretty much had every label possible thrown at me. Somewhere on the autistic spectrum, definitely got ADHD, neurodivergent, just you name it, different doctors, different teachers, different professionals would give it a different label. But ultimately, growing up in the era that I did and that many of you did, that wasn't okay. You weren't normal. And that was pretty much how it was described. It's like, you're not normal. Now I think it's recognized much more as a gift, but back then, you know, it was certainly not a gift. In fact, it felt sometimes like a life sentence because, you know, you didn't fit in at school and you couldn't just sit still and be quiet like everybody else and you couldn't just pay attention. And as I've got older, there's certain things that I've realized about myself and about how I operate and how I do business that actually has made me a much better entrepreneur. I attribute a lot of the success that we've had to the fact that my brain works at like a million miles per hour and can't concentrate. Sometimes it's pretty exhausting, but you know, I've learned to deal with that. So some of the hints and tips, for example, I shared with this person the other day, that it was fun bouncing around ideas because they were like, oh, I do that. And it was exciting. And it was almost like a feeling of recognition, like you're not alone. Like don't let people tell you that you're not normal or that you're weird. You know, we are just different. We are wired differently. And as such, a lot of the self-help books and things and a lot of the tips and advice that people give you just don't work for people who are neurodivergent. Or as an ADHD coach that I know calls it neurospicy, which I think is a pretty good way of calling it. You know, a great one for me is the fact that I know that unless I listen to something on usually minimum 1.5 times speed or 2 times speed, I'm not going to pay attention. There's no way I can pay attention. That's why I like audiobooks and I like visual content as opposed to reading, because I can read the same page on a book 5 to 10 times and still have absolutely no idea what it says. But if I listen to a podcast recording or even the audiobook of that exact same book or that exact same page at times 2 speed, I've absorbed every single word like a sponge. I've adapted it. My brain is now playing with it and playing with the concepts and the ideas that were shared on that page. So I know for me that I have to engage things at a much faster speed, otherwise I drift off. It's even when I'm in masterminds and group settings and things, I know that I have to watch those back in times 2 speed so that I can engage with what's going on and actually absorb the information. Because in real time, I'm there, but I'm not really there. You know, I'm drifting off. I'm going, oh, look, there's a bird. Oh, I wonder if I sent that email. Did I send that email? Well, what happened to that guy? You know, we haven't spoken to for 10 years, this person. That's what's going on in my brain whilst I'm supposed to be listening and learning. And it's no disrespect to the person teaching. It's no disrespect to the person sharing the content. It's nothing to do with that at all. They are just delivering it at a normal human speed and I can't focus there. I have to have complete distractions. I know that I have to put both of my headphones in. Having one headphone in does not help. I have to have both. If I am engaging with my family or I am engaging with friends, I usually still have one headphone in. Sometimes there's nothing even playing on it. It's just helping me to block out everything else that's going on, because otherwise I find myself like that nosy neighbor looking behind the curtains. You know, I'm listening to 3 or 4 conversations that are going on inside the restaurant instead of paying attention to the table that I'm on and engaging in that conversation. So there's little things like that I've learned about myself. I've also learned about myself that I'm not the best implementer. You know, I will come out with strategies that my clients implement that work incredibly well for them, and then I almost get frustrated that I'm like, why don't we do that? Like, that's so annoying. So I hired somebody in my business who is an incredible scholar who loves to learn. And what she does is she listens back to all of the strategy sessions that I do with my clients and then delegates and implements those strategies and those tasks into our business throughout our team, which is incredible because I have a blind spot in that part of my brain. I really struggle to do that. So here's the thing about that, though, because I think for a long time, what was strange about this for me was that everybody's teaching you to, like, fix your weaknesses, right? It's like, oh, you're not very good at concentrating. Here's 10 steps on how to concentrate better. Or, oh, you're not very good at accounting and tax. Like, here's the 12-step process. And I'm like, who gives a shit? Like, why do I want to learn the stuff that I'm not good at? Like, in business, we wear way too many hats. And I think as somebody who is neurodivergent, that's quite tempting to do anyway, because we wear tons of hats in everyday life. And sometimes you're spinning multiple plates at the same time, and there's things crashing all around you. And when one crashes, they all tend to crash. And when one's spinning, they all tend to spin. So it's a real sense of highs and lows. But having come from the sports world, I know that it's not about how good you are at every position on the field, because you cannot play every position on the field. You can only play one of them. So don't focus on becoming better at the positions on the field that you're weakest at. Just make sure that you have a teammate or a partner who is really good at that bit, preferably equally as good, if not better than you are at your bit, and then you'll have a successful business. But I really like this. The two things that I dislike the most about the business industry and the business training sector in particular is this: you've got to learn how to strengthen your weaknesses and you've got to hustle. Like, two things that I believe are a complete lie. Like, I could not disagree more with them. Number one, I do not believe that you should wear every hat. I believe that you should focus entirely on the things that you are best at. The important thing here is to recognize what that is. If you know what it is that you're best at, that means that you can focus on it, but it also means that you can start to look for partners, support, suppliers, whatever, who are going to support you with that other side of your business or that other task that you are particularly weak at, and therefore find someone who's really strong at it. You know, that's the best way to do it. The other thing about this hustle lifestyle is, you know, somebody who's burnt out on multiple occasions and now has a very successful business. I love my life. I love my businesses. I work 2 days a week. I live in the beautiful island of St. Lucia in the Caribbean, all having done the hustle, hustle, hustle mentality. I run a business called Billionaires in Boxers because I rarely put on pants running my business whilst growing global empires. You know, I burn all of my suit and tie. I do not work 12-hour days. I do not work 5 days a week. Like, I work 2 days a week, maybe 2.5 days a week on a really busy week. Now, this isn't me showing off by any stretch of the imagination. This is me disproving that this hustle mentality is a good idea. It's bullshit. It's total nonsense. You shouldn't be doing that. You want to know what one of the most critical components to success is? Rest. Like, if you are a professional athlete, you can have the best performance of your life in the game on a Monday. That doesn't mean you can play the game again on a Tuesday. It just doesn't. Like, if you're striving for peak performance, if you're striving to achieve new heights, set that new world record, go further in your business, achieve more than you ever have before, then pushing yourself to the point where you're either going to have a mental or physical burnout is not going to get you there. Rest is an incredibly important component for success. In fact, I was watching an interview just the other day with Mohamed Salah, world famous football player, soccer player for some of you listening. And actually, he's a Liverpool player, as I'm a huge Liverpool fan, which is why I was watching the interview. And somebody said to him, like, what do you do outside of football? And he said, I'm really boring. He said, I like to go home. I like to spend time with my family. I spend my time in the gym. I finish in the gym. I just go home and I relax and I try to do as little as possible. And he said, because if you have a hectic lifestyle, good luck to you trying to remain at the top of your game. Good luck to you trying to win anything if you're so busy doing all these other things. But yet, that's the complete opposite advice that we're given in business. It's, you're not where you need to be, push harder. You're not earning as much as you want to, hustle more. You're not working, you know, with the people you want to, work more hours. And it's just bullshit. It's just bullshit. And one of the things that I say a lot to my clients, and I'll repeat it here, is that business is incredibly simple. Business is incredibly simple. Business is overcomplicated by idiots wanting to sell you solutions to the complications that they've just created. Right? Business is really simple. It follows a simple formula. Visibility plus credibility equals profitability. Or if you even want to make it even more simple than that, problem, solution, profit. That's it. So everyone's to, oh, you've got to be on here, you've got to be on this platform, and you can only send this, and this word's got to be just, it's about relationship building and solving problems. And if you make somebody's life better, either by giving them a lift, a boost, making them feel good about themselves, helping them solve a problem, helping them with a solution, helping them to unlock a new height in their life, then you are providing a valuable service. And therefore, all you need to do is communicate that with somebody else. And you're sat listening to this thinking, that's so simple. But it is so simple. We've got to stop overcomplicating this. Like, I was speaking to somebody a few weeks ago about their business, and they were telling me it wasn't going the way that they wanted to. And they're working 11-hour days, but they've got two clients. And I'm like, so what are you doing for two clients 11 hours a day? And they said, oh no, like 8 of those hours is doing content, because Gary Vaynerchuk says we've got to have content on TikTok and LinkedIn and blah. And I'm like, what? So you're not focusing on winning clients, you're focusing on creating content. Like, because somebody told you that that's the way to do it. Like, it's ludicrous. It's mind-blowing to me. So when I was speaking to this person with ADHD and the neurodivergence, the neurospicy side of their brain, I smile every time I say that, but the neurospicy side of their brain, one of the things that they asked me, which I thought was a really deep question, and they really liked my answer, which is why I wanted to share it with you here, was they said to me, how do you know when you've achieved enough? How do you know when you've won enough? And my answer to that was that I have a sense of curiosity, because as somebody who grew up in a single parent family on benefits, we had no money, kicked out of school and homeless at 14. I've already achieved more in my life so far at this young age than anybody thought was possible, including me, by the way. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I've already overachieved, and I don't feel like I've reached anywhere near my limit yet. So my sense of curiosity comes from, I don't know how far I can go, but I just want to keep trying. I keep wanting to challenge myself, go bigger. And by challenge myself, sometimes that's a financial challenge. Sometimes that's a timescale challenge. Like, okay, so I did that in 12 months last year. Can we do it in 6 months this year? It's okay, so I used to do that in 5 days. Now can I do it in 2 days? You know, there's always these little challenges, these micro challenges that I set myself within my business. And that's what keeps me going. And their follow-up question was, well, how will you feel when you've reached the ceiling, when you finally get to a point that you're like, ah, there it is, that's my limit? And I said, probably a little bit relieved, actually, because I'll know where it is. I won't be disappointed. If anything, I'll be happy because I'll know where it is. Whereas right now, I don't know where that ceiling is for me. And by the way, neither do most of the people that I'm speaking with. My clients don't. I suspect the people watching this don't. You are capable of so much more than anybody has ever told you is possible, or that you can even imagine is possible. But you've got to keep that sense of curiosity, that sense of like, what if? Maybe I can do this. Can I do it in half the time? And the best way that I found to do this, and I'll share it with you, and then this is the last point I'll make, is gamification. You know, turn it into a game. Like, that's what I do. I'm constantly competing against myself and trying to make it fun. So my attitude is, okay, we made X last year. Can I do that in one quarter next year? You know, I was doing that, it was taking me 4 days. Can it take me one day? Like, just trying, playing with different solutions. And you know what? When you start to ask yourself those kind of questions, you come up with different solutions. You know, people often go back to the fact that I was working 6 days a week as a workaholic. And then when I felt sick, I started working 1.5 to 2 days per week. But yet the business continued to make more money and continued to grow. And in fact, instead of maintaining the level, which is what I was hoping for, we actually exceeded that and went above and beyond. And when I look back, because I like to understand how things work, I was trying to analyze, well, why did that happen? And it was because we were asking different questions. No longer was I asking, well, how can we achieve this? And my answer being, well, I can work more hours in the day and we can achieve that. Well, yeah, that's true. But what if I change that question? What if I say, how can we achieve this, but only working for 5 hours on that project? Now suddenly you start thinking about creativity and delegations and partnerships and all these kind of things that take you outside your comfort zone and outside the current bubble and sphere where you are right now. And I promise you, that's how you continue to generate and go higher and higher and higher. So whatever your unique quirk is for you, I want you to embrace it. And I know it's really easy for me to say sat on the side of this camera. It wasn't easy to do, by the way. I mentioned at the beginning of this, I still feel uncomfortable sometimes talking about this. All my clients know. But I still sometimes feel uncomfortable talking about the neurodivergence, the homelessness, the abuse, all that kind of stuff, because it's not exactly something I want to spend my time focused on. But when I look at me as a whole, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for those quirks, if it wasn't for that rock bottom solid foundation that I built upon. And for so many people, it's the reason why they hide. But I'm actually telling you, it's the reason why you should shine. So if you've felt your entire life that you're not quote unquote normal, that's a good thing, because normal gets normal results. You're extraordinary and deserve extraordinary results. And I want you to embrace that and go for it. What you want, making money while you in your box of shorts, feel like nothing or nobody is stopping you, even when I said it was impossible. No,